Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We thank you for joining us on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father James Stembler, who is sitting in for Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Father Stembler. You were here last week, and it's great to see you again.
It's good to be here.
Thank you, Father. Today's Gospel reading is from St. Mark, so if you would share that with us now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirits.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this Gospel reading from Mark follows exactly the same time frame from last Sunday when Jesus expressed regret over the lack of faith of the people in his native place. And now he is sending out his disciples, two by two.
Right. Being disciples or students of Jesus, the 12 need to put the one foot in front of the other, and they need to go out and do what they've been learning. They need to go out, and what they've been experiencing with Jesus is something they are being called to share with others. Jesus is helping them see, helping us see, that the whole point of being a disciple, of being a follower of Jesus, is to witness. To witness to Jesus, to witness to the love of God through Jesus Christ, and to keep that moving forward from us, you know. The faith wasn't given to us, it's mine, it's all mine, and I, you know, that's just as far as it's going to go. No, if we truly understand the faith that has been given to us, we're constantly giving it away. Because when we give it away, we receive so much in return. So it's not a, you know, it's not something that's only mine.
Our faith is not our sole possession. Our faith is not something for us to keep to ourselves.
That's right. It is something we are called to share. So he summons the 12 and sends them out two by two. Why two by two? Well, number one, it's always safety in numbers. Number
true.
Two, the fact that there are two, they will be witnessing to one another the gospel message, the truth about God's love through Jesus Christ. And because they're witnessing to one another, people will see that witness. And so I think that's one of the reasons why it's two by two, not only for a practical reason, safety, but also for a spiritual purpose to not only myself am I witnessing, but the two of us together, how we relate to one another and work with one another is witnessing to the people we go out to we meet.
So the two were able to share.
Correct, correct. That's very important in our faith, you know. Again, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me, and you can't have any unless I choose to let you know. No, it's we're supposed to be constantly witnessing. It's interesting how he tells them to go out, take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. You think about that. When you pack to go somewhere, you pack. You know, you have a suitcase. I mean, we've all lately learned very well how to pack very small, to pack in a small case so we can take it on the plane with us or easily put it into the car. You know, we're not taking everything like perhaps at one point when we did take a few more cases, but we've learned how to pack small. But Jesus says to take nothing. And that seems pretty iffy. I mean, you plan to go someplace for a while and not take anything and see how interesting it'll be.
The instructions they received before they set out, very clear when he says, no food, no sack, just leaving on a trip with no money, right?
Right. The reason is because if we're really witnessing to the gospel, it seems to me God will provide and things will happen. So I think what's being focused on here is that they're to take nothing with them but the Word of God. They're to take nothing with them but who Jesus is and how they've experienced Jesus in their time with him so far. That's all they need, that faith. That will carry them through. And I think it's important for us to recognize that faith should be our top priority, should be the thing we focus on. Everything I do is through that understanding of my faith in God. What's the song? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be gathered unto you. Everything else will come around, maybe not in the way we think it should or we're sort of planning it should, but we will be taken care of. We heard that recently in the gospel reading. Your father takes care of the birds. Aren't you worth more than birds? This is a very good lesson for us in how much our faith is in God, how much we trust in God. Are we willing to journey with solely focusing on the kingdom of God, the Word of God, and do we trust that everything else will fall into place? So that's a good lesson for the 12 as they go. At least they are able to wear sandals because it is rocky soil out there. But everything else will be out of trust. And do we have that level of trust in God that we can move forward with our focus solely on God?
And by pairing up, and with the disciples working in teams of two, if one maybe started to waver a bit, maybe wasn't trusting completely, they had the other one to sort of bring him back, because that's what two people can do. One is just thinking, wow, we have no food, we have no money. But the other one is like, well, don't worry about it. Everything will be fine, you know? So you have these two to support one another as they venture out.
I mean, in prayer, we're called to support one another. And through our prayer, we help and assist one another. And so the same thing here. We're going to... You know, there'll be times when we're very much challenged, and the other person will be that support and help to bring the faith back up,
right,
to get the focus back where it should be. So, the two by two, I think that's the reason we witness not only as individuals, but I think more effectively we witness as a parish community, as a diocese. When we come together, I think that in itself is a strong and powerful witness.
So this gospel continues with St. Mark describing what the disciples can take with them. They could wear sandals, but it says not a second tunic. So when you think about that, a second tunic would be like an overcoat, like for protection against the weather or the elements. So now they're saying no second tunic, just one. So again, have faith, you'll be taken care of.
It's similar to Jesus in the boat, and there's a storm, and he's sleeping in the back of the boat, and everybody else is panicky because, you know, it's strong waves, and how can you sleep through all of this? And, oh ye of little faith, is Jesus' response. I mean, you know, challenges are a part of life. Storms are going to happen in life. But where's our focus? Is it on the storm? Is it on the challenge? Or is it on God, and that will help me through the challenge? I think that's a powerful opportunity for us to really challenge our faith to grow. I think God is giving us that ability to grow in our faith, and we need to keep the focus on God so that that growth can occur.
When you mentioned about Jesus being asleep in the back of the boat, that makes me think about Peter walking to Jesus when he walks out on the water and takes a few steps, but then he begins to sink when he loses focus and he takes his eyes off of Jesus.
It's not easy. That's why we need the support of one another. That's why we're a community, to have that help for one another. But I think the 12 are learning a lot through all of this, but the 12 and us are learning a lot about our focus should be on our faith, on God, and as challenging as the road will be, as scary as the road will be, we can make it through. It may not be pretty, but we can make it through. I mean, you know, the end of the story is not Jesus on the cross. The end of the story is the resurrection. And I think we need to keep moving forward in that understanding, as the 12 are learning to keep moving forward in that understanding.
Thank you, Father. We're going to take a short break, and we will continue our conversation. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father James Stembler, who is sitting in for Bishop Michael Mulvey today on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are discussing the Gospel of Mark and how Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, and they carried very little with them in terms of items for the trip. So in the second half of the program, let's talk about what happens when they actually started encountering people on their way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. You know, when you go to people, stay with them. The whole point of evangelization, this is what's taking place here, the whole point of evangelization is to be with the person. You know, it's not just, you know, read this pamphlet and you'll be fine. No, it's interacting. It's speaking to. It's, you know, it's not texting or putting up a Facebook page. It's one-on-one, mano y mano. I mean, it's connecting with. And so whenever you enter a house, Jesus helps them understand that this is evangelization is all about connecting with people. Isn't that what Jesus has done? We're in Mark chapter 6, even up to now. You know, Jesus hasn't stayed one place and waited for people to come to him. He's gone out. He's gone out to see where people are and been with them in their situation. So this is the same thing now for the 12. It's the same for us. We need to interact with people. We need to speak with people, not at people, but with people, and remain. There may be a lot of questions, and those questions we shouldn't be afraid of or resist. I think we need to be, you know, the faith will carry us through. So I think we need to, you know, answer those questions to the best of our ability or point people in the right direction for their answers. But, you know, we just need to interact and, you know, not, you know, treat each other as objects, but as human beings in how we're relating, because that in itself is a witness. That interaction is itself a witness.
And, of course, to listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it can be emphasized enough. Conversation or dialogue, the understanding there is that you're not only talking, but you're listening. And whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. I mean, there are times when you interact with people and they're just not going to want to listen. They're just not going to, get away from me, you know, or whatever. And what does Jesus tell them to do? Leave. Shake the dust off your feet. Don't keep that as a memory. Get rid of that. Just shake it off completely. Don't let that memory control you. And that's in testimony against them because you're done. You're finished. Now, it may be very true that someone else or another two can go to this person or persons and maybe they'll get through. Okay, that's wonderful. The important thing is that they got through. It's not who gave the message.
Right.
Early in my priesthood, I was invited to a healing mass where people came up and you blessed them. And some people were sort of falling over, slain in the spirit or whatever they call it. And, everybody, all the other priests, that happened with people that went to them, but it wasn't happening to people that went with me. So I got all concerned all of a sudden was there was something the matter with me. So I talked to the priest who was the main celebrant of this service, of this mass and service, and I said, is there something the matter? He said, no, the spirit is working through you, but maybe not in that way. And I think the same thing is true with, evangelization or sharing the word. Maybe I didn't get through to this person. Well, I can, curse myself up inside and down the other, but maybe the spirit wasn't meant to work in that way through me. Maybe this other person with whom the Spirit is able to move and is able to connect with this person. The important thing is that the connection was made, that the evangelization is taking place. As to who did it, that's not the important thing. So I believe what's going on here is a reminder to us that if we don't get through to someone, move on. Don't hold that in memory. Continue to pray for the person, of course, but don't hold the situation or the experience in your memory. Get rid of it. You need to move on because maybe there are people who you'll be able to reach that others aren't able to reach.
It almost sounds a little bit like when you try to do something and it doesn't work out and you feel you failed and you just decide not to do it again. Instead of picking yourself up, as he says, and dusting yourself off and continuing to move forward.
Right, right. Because we're not going to get through to everyone. And that's a reality we need to recognize. I mean, Jesus watched people walk away from him. I mean, he didn't run after them and say, "You better get back or else." The rich man, his face fell when Jesus said, "Go sell all you have and give to the poor." His face fell. I love that statement. His face fell and he walked away. Jesus watched him walk away, and it's not his time. So I'm sure the prayer is going for the man, yes. But your response and my responsibility in this situation is not to just freeze my memory on that moment and think, well, that's it. I can't do it. No, you keep moving on. And look what happened. You sort of wonder, this is one of those times you wish there was a Kodak moment so you could see the expression on the disciples' faces. You're going out two by two to evangelize and have authority over unclean spirits. I'd love to see the expressions on their faces. But, they go out and lo and behold, it's happening because they're focusing on what Jesus has given them, the faith. The faith in God. And because their focus is there, not on themselves, not on their own needs, but they are focused on God's love, it's happening. Which I think should cause us all to sit back and ask, you know, do I believe that it'll happen through me? Do I believe that I can go out and evangelize? I mean, maybe I'm not doing it like certain people that have been made famous, if you will, mm-hmm. quote unquote, by media or anything like that. We can think of several people who have made it into the media spotlight. And in many cases there, I don't know that they personally wanted to be in that spotlight.
Right.
But do I understand that I have the ability, because I have the faith, to witness to the gospel message, and that I can do it in an effective way simply because I'm living the faith out in my life? There are people who are evangelizing right and left all the time, and you never hear about them, but they're doing it. And in many ways that maybe they don't recognize as true evangelization, but they are. Just interacting with someone, that's a wonderful way of beginning the whole question about who is God and that God is a part of me. Just interacting with people, opening people's minds and hearts to God and God's presence within them. That's what Jesus did. He went, and if you read the scriptures, Jesus keeps, you know, interesting company: tax collectors, prostitutes, people who are not good practitioners of their faith. Jesus keeps them as company. Why? Well, because they've been thrown out. They've been distanced off.
Like a castaway.
Yeah, castaway. Well, they're creations of God. And Jesus goes and sits with them and helps open their mind and heart to the understanding of God and God's place in their life, that they are blessed because they are a creation of God. Do they all turn around and have a... They repent or a metanoia and about face and follow Jesus? No, maybe not. Maybe at some point they will. Some do. Some turn their lives around. Others, they turn it around after a while. You know, but the important thing is to just sit and dialogue, to just sit and interact. Sometimes I think, you know, technology is a wonderful thing, and I certainly use technology, or I'm using it more and more as I learn more and more about it. But it's a wonderful thing. But I sometimes wonder, and a big question for us as a society should be, do I relate more to technology or better to technology than I do to other people? And that's a real issue. And I mean, I think that's something we really need to consider.
It's the interaction with one another and just how you act that people will notice, and how our words and our actions can evangelize. Thank you for your words and insight today, Father Stembler. If you would now close the program.
O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who, for the faith they profess or are counted Christians, the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.